and the events that was they presented in 2018 should be regarded as the main presentations and nothing else. So we are going together, the stakeholders respond to the petitions today, hence the three stakeholders as mentioned off. As we are moving closer towards starting, we always wanted to run while we know each other, and I would want to take this opportunity to request members to introduce to themselves to you, so that when you present to them, you know who they are. Can we start, Mamukwene?
Shumelamba Khaesu, Higai Bakhaesu, Lina Laka Ki Tebogo Mokwele, Ki Bakhobo Kone Bophirima, Ko Moses Kotane Local Municipality, Ki Molelo Kwa, Kwae Kunti Ikeno.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My name is Jihad Mahdi. I'm a member of the committee representing the state.
Morning. My name is Dumisani Kimbi, member of the committee, permanent delegate from the Western Cape.
Morning. My name is Morgan Chetty. I'm a permanent delegate from KZN.
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Bronwyn Elbrecht, permanent delegate from Gauteng.
Thank you very much. Na le bitso la ka ke tla mora wa tlhaga e modula tlo wa committee. We are now going to check if there's any apologies received. There are no apologies that we have received. And without much ado, we will now invite the first presenter in response to that petition from the traditional authority, the traditional council of the Mafokeng. But before that, I should just lay down procedures that are followed in this meeting. Stakeholders will then be requested to present, and every time the chair is asking you to stop, you have to stop. And you only speak when you have been authorized to do so. During the question session, it's only members of parliament who will ask questions. Not everybody will do that. You are welcome, Deputy Minister. I'm sure you may come and join us this night. Honorable members, maybe we should also take tune to say, as we are having this hearing today, it is a day that we were supposed to be all out celebrating African Day. But due to the commitment and the requirements of the people of South Africa, we are unable. However, in our own spirit and otherwise, we are with the African people. We are saying Happy African Day. Thank you very much. Can I now invite, before I invite Mafokeng, something, Honorable Mwede?
Gongwe ke tla be ke le out of order, mare ne ke batla go checka gore today's hearing, are we only concentrating on the response from the COSI, but my memory, ga ke gopola last year when we had an interaction with the petitioners, we didn't get as members of committee a gist of where what actually transpired when they did, because something that they indicated was that the chairperson has been cozy in his capacity, has a personal interest in the matter. So I want to check with cozy now that moving forward with the response from cozy, cozy's side, and with you presiding over, won't it give us a challenge in terms of coming to the determination as a committee to deal with this matter, as you know that you are a cozy by yourself and the matter before you deals with specifically what you do on your daily and personal capacity, and then being the chairperson of the committee somehow we compromise the decision or the determination of the committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Khwele, Honorable Mwabi.
Chairperson, before you proceed, for people who forgot, can you also raise who are part of the meeting in terms of delegation, please?
Thank you. The issue raised by Honorable Mokwele, for purpose of hearing, it has got no bearing because there's no decision that will be taken in this hearing today. We just listen, record everything that has been raised. If it's an issue, it might be an issue when we'll be sitting as a committee to decide what is our position after hearing this. I want to believe that today has got nothing absolutely to have impact on the hearing because it's just to obtain information, get clarified, and on our own, maybe when we were supposed to discuss, you may raise this, then we all apply our minds on it. Does it make sense, Honorable Mokwe?
I give us something that dialogue change. E siameng mo go biba yang ka teng mme re tla yeng wa re tsitse ntla ile mo ntla ya go bedi ke gore go tsa re tsere di decision re utlwela another side la response re sa utlwa. Remember petition ye is we were not part of parliament when it was.
I don't know, I heard that. I responded to the first one, hoping
okay.
It can come into the
okay.
The second one is you would know, honourable members, that we are not the petitioners. We are people have got the rights. If I decide not to give you a particular information at a particular time, it does not mean that you need not to do your work. We have said the reason why we ask the petitioner to present to us is basically that we are battling to get the record of what we are discussing in 2013. And they themselves opted to say we are not interested to repeat. But that does not disqualify the petition. We will hear the response and apply our mind on the information in our disposal. You see, sometimes when you are given an opportunity to present and you take an opposite decision, it is good for you to do that, but it might work against you at a certain stage. I think we have done all what as a committee we were supposed to do, to give everybody opportunity, and including to say to them, we are aware you once appeared before the committee, but we are unable to track where the papers are of what information you have given to us. So we are going to, we will then, when we have all the information, also apply our mind on the issue as we have raised, Honorable Mokwele. Secondly, I expect we are going to have representatives from the Bafokeng royal family or the Bafokeng traditional council. Maybe if we were to check who are presenting them, just to indicate your names and position.
I come from the Royal Bafokeng. I'm Khosana Mokate, a member of the Royal Bafokeng Supreme Council, and representing the Supreme Council. I'm with Mr. Makale, who's within the office of COSI. He's a director of operations in the office of COSI.
Thank you. And we are going to have the local Rustenburg local municipality. Representative from, can you tell us who you are and your portfolios?
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Sheila Mabaleum. I'm the member of the Mayor Committee responsible for planning and transport, and I'm here on behalf of the Executive Mayor Council on Pokuno.
Thank you very much. You are the only person. Deputy Minister and your troop.
My name is Obed Babel. I'm the Deputy Minister for COCTA. We were invited to appear before the committee. We don't know why, but we are here.
I'm Inkosi Siphomahlangu, Deputy Chairperson of the National House of Leaders.
You've also been invited to appear, you don't know what.
I'm Charles Mwaira, I'm the Director General of the Department of Traditional Affairs.
Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, Deputy Minister. Good morning, Traditional Leaders. My name is Fiso Ngobo, Head of Office for Deputy Minister of Obebabela, Traditional Affairs.
Very good morning. My name is Lewan Tekan, Parliamentary Liaison Officer for the Ministry, COCTA.
Good morning. My name is Shokese Mohaladi. I'm the head of the Office of the Director General of Traditional Affairs.
Good morning, Honorable Members, people of Mahajani, Cabinet and Parliamentary Liaison, Department of Traditional Affairs.
Honorable Deputy Minister Scott, and you are true. I want to believe you're not by yourself alone.
I definitely am not by myself alone. I'm Deputy Scott. Like the Deputy Minister Mabella, I'm here. I'm not sure why I'm here. But as I said, I have a sense. In preparing to be here, I have a delegation that is with me that is going to be introducing itself. One of them is Richard from the... Okay, anyway, Richard, introduce yourself.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. My name is Richard Kiotele, Provincial Head for Officials in the Department of Development and Land Reform. And I'm heading the northwest part in the department.
Thank you very much. I'm sure...
Is there any other stakeholders outside except the two Slamrao members? Yes, sir.
Thank you very much, Chair, and morning to the Deputy Ministers and the Committee Members. My name is Temba Sikutwa. I'm the DLO in the Office of Deputy Minister Squatcher. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'm Zola Zweli, the Parliamentary Officer in the Office of the Minister of Rural Development and Land Reform. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Wana, and then to your colleague next to you, can you introduce
yourself. Thank you, Jefferson. Good morning to everybody. My name is W. Zohan, Permanent Delegate of the Eastern Cape. Thank you.
Hello, Pamukina Student. My name is Rusev Mbotle. I'm not a Marupole. The local committee who took up a book.
Thank you, Honorable Members, Deputy Ministers, officials and staff members. I saw your heads once again.
The petitioners for a decision here not to present their case before us as committee. Disadvantaged them, but on my side, they check the committee must be blamed for.
Honorable Mokwede,
can you allow me to hang on?
We are not deliberating on anything here today. Can I give a direction of the meeting? We are going to obtain presentations of the stakeholders on the petition. And our responsibility that we have agreed on as members is to get clarified in the areas that are not clear. And at our own time, we'll sit and talk this any other thing that we wanted to talk. Can we allow them to present so that we don't find ourselves making them to get lost while that we have been inviting them to present to us?
Chair, they will present. I can argue the figure they will present. What I'm arguing here, Chair, is that your response towards my question earlier is that the petitioners, by disadvantages, they were not allowing us to hear their story. So I'm saying the manner in which we presented our case to the petitioners as committee, we are to be blamed because we don't have record as parliament. That on its own shows that on its own.
An order. Chairperson, point of order. You gave us the direction. I think we have to follow that. The more way that we can discuss before the discussion. The committee will sit down and analyze everything. Now we suppose, as you said, so to listen from the petitioner and then we take it from this. Chairperson, our member, this member is out of order now. Thank you.
I'm responding to what the
Honorable Mokwele, Honorable Mokwele, can you be contact? I have outlined the procedure that we are going to speak in this particular manner. I'm saying to you,
we have invited the stakeholders to present to us, and we will have plenty of time amongst ourselves to discuss anything that you'd want to raise. But for now, can we allow them to present to us?
Because you entertained them.
But
the matter has been entertained by you. That's why I'm responding to it. It's fine, you can surprise me, but the fact will still remain.
Thank you.
The fact will still remain that we didn't give the petitioners ample time as the committee. It's a fact. So you surprise me with your members. It's fine. I will refrain from what I wanted to say. But it's a fact. It must be recorded as such.
Thank you, Honourable. Can we now invite the Mafokeng to make a presentation? Please, tag the commodity. You will never have surplus of it. Can we use it? You know, if you at most you take 10 minutes or so to present your case, will be the most easiest. But please, over to you. Thank you very much. And repeat to say, I'm coming from that.
I've gone through the petition, there's the oldest and the new one, and I've gone through both of them. I don't know which one am I supposed to respond to, but I think they have almost similar contentions. I beg you at this point in time to hand over our written response, which I'll go through and elucidate where necessary. The crux of the petition challenges the Bafokeng Nation as to whether it is a clan or a nation. And amongst others, I'll briefly give the history of the Bafokeng, who they are, where they come from. Bafokeng is a traditional community recognized in terms of the Act. And prior to that, the Bafokeng Nation existed even prior to the arrival of the settlers in South Africa. The Bafokeng Nation is one of the oldest traditional communities in Africa. If you look at all the nations of Kwena culture, in Botswana, in Lesotho, and in South Africa, they all fall from the Bafokeng Nation. That is why even the king of Lesotho comes to pay homage to our Khosi Mpokeng. In Botswana, when there are traditional festivities, we preside over those festivities because we are the senior Bakwena in Southern Africa. So for the petitioners to say we are a clan, it is a misnomer. Let me initially say that the land occupied by the Royal Bafokeng at this point in time is even smaller in comparison to what we occupied prior to the arrival of settlers in South Africa. Historically, an area from Krugersdorp to almost the mountains of Plannersburg were our grazing land. And with the arrival of settlers, we are confined to Rustenburg. And Paul Kruger, when he arrived in Rustenburg, he introduced his Western civil laws, and we were forced to actually pillage our historical land. Now, whoever settled in our area is a Mofokeng. And to say that because there's an allegation that we are not a homogeneous community, that is not an isolated incident. There are many nations which are not homogeneous. If you look at the Sioux Nation, it was combined by a Shaka. It is not a homogeneous community. And it has different totems. We also have different totems, but we are a larger African community. I just wanted to give you the synopsis of the background so that we should be understood in context. We prepared a written response to the petition, which read as follows. I do not deal with all the issues raised to the petition by the Bafokeng and then by association. Much of what they say is vague and incoherent that it is difficult to respond to. I think it is worth making the point that they represent very few people. If one looks at the numbers involved in their litigation, open bracket, and one excludes the so-called Tekwane community, close bracket, they represent no more than 150 or 200 people. The petition attached to to the 2008 submission has only 21 signatories. And to add to that, some of whom are not even voting when you look at that, those signatories. Of those, only 11 appear to lay some sort of claim to farms owned by Bafokeng. The petition states that since 1996, various claims...
Maybe as you are presenting, because you've given us a code, you can speak to it rather than, you know, go word by word on it.
As
we are working on making copies of that presentation.
We have further copies we can submit the same to the Honorable House.
And then the Honourable Members, I've said before you arrived that we are operating on a skeleton staff today. So you'll see that you are experiencing a bit of challenge because both Secretary and the Content Advisor have been sent to attend the course in Durban.
Thank you.
So when you see some deficiency, it's not the normal common thing, it's because of a challenge that we're having today. Proceed in that, please.
At this point in time, as the Honourable Chair has requested me to comment on the response, I'll state that yes, indeed, a few members who are in that petition, some of whom are not even Bafokeng. And if you look at the farms claimed, Mr. Chairman, they are resided on by Bafokeng, and even those claimers who are part of the claim also reside on those farms. The petition says that in 1996 various claims under the restitution process have been held in respect of Bafokeng farms. However, in 26 October 2015, there were only three land claims. There were two land claims earlier, Mr. Chairman, and those land claims were dismissed because they did not comply with the Act. And the Act provided means and ways through which we could claim the land, but the restitution team entertained the letter and found that they were not compliant. As a result, they dismissed those allegations because they were without substance. There is a reference to a case which was had in 1908, in which a certain petitioner made claims to a piece of land. This petitioner is a Khosana of the Bafokeng community, residing in Tekwane. It's also part of the community. That application before court was dismissed. And obviously, in law, would raise the defense of res judicata. That matter was entertained by a competent court and it was dismissed. But in Obita, by the way, comments by the judge, he mentioned that a certain settler had visited Mr. Patel in his call when they were determining how many cows would be paid. That was said in Oita. So it must be borne in mind that issues which are mentioned in Oita are not necessarily a decision of the court. The court, in its writing and in its analysis of total details and facts before it, came to a conclusion that there was no basis. The allegation that the farms bought by Bafokeng were bought by individuals. There's no substance because Bafokeng historically are known to have gone to Kimberley to go and work as a community. But they sent platoons of young men to Kimberley to go and work as a community so that they could purchase their land. The reason was that Konduka had informed them that the English were about to annex the Transvaal, and the only way through which they could protect their land was to purchase it. And Cosmocarte then sent platoons of young men to Kimberley to go and work, some of whom perished in Kimberley. Our forefathers, some of them perished in Kimberley, never came back. But their money was collectively collected and brought to Bafokeng and purchased the land transit. The land could not be purchased in the name of Bafokeng, then it was purchased in the name of the church, under the leadership of Reverend Penzon. And Reverend Penzon held the land in trust for Bafokeng, and subsequently, when the laws allowed that we could register the land in our name, the Bafokeng registered the name. But in terms of the then apartheid laws. The land had to be held in trust by the Minister of Native Affairs or Land Affairs, which is currently Rural Development and Land Affairs. Then that land is still held that way. If you look at the case, which is before court, this matter is before court, but we did not want to raise the sub judice rule. We want to bring you into confidence to give you the facts as they are. The matter is still pending before court. But in the facts before court, we the Bafokeng had applied to court to ask for the we initially sent letters to the minister to say please release our land so that we should be able to administer the land directly. And there was no response. The reason why we wanted to have control of the land directly is because we have been disadvantaged in more instances than one, where we are supposed to contract with mining companies and outside individuals. We could not directly do that because in terms of the law, we are required to go through the minister who should attend to every transaction we do. And sometimes it takes more than necessary. In one instance, for instance, we sent papers to Land Affairs in 2005 where we were supposed to have a contract with Anglo American, and those papers disappeared. Then the second set of documents, it also disappeared. And even today, we haven't as yet concluded a contract with Anglo-American who are mining on our land. And as a result of this delay and inconvenience, we decided in the Supreme Council that let us approach the minister to release the land so that we should directly control our land. Without a response from the ministry, we then approached the court to say, we ask for a declarator that our land be released so that it be registered directly in the name of our Bafokeng. And as a result of that, the court said we should publish the application. So we did. And after the publication, then we received the responses of the petitioners who intervened. That is why the case is before court. The crux of the matter before court, they allege that they were supposed to have been part of the decision which made a decision, part of the congregation which made the decision to go to court at the court of the level. And we are saying the Supreme Council, because it's representative enough, can make that decision. The Supreme Council is comprised of about 70 partners and elected traditional councillors. Traditional councillors and appointed traditional councillors by us. So the Supreme Council is a house of about 90 representatives of the community, which make decisions democratically. The resolutions are made democratically. And every month, every court headed by a persona is given a report back by the persona. And if they have suggestions, they also send their suggestions to that persona. And twice a year, we have what is called Tota Kote, where committees called together to be given a report back, financial statement, and when there are even future plans. And they are given opportunity to interrogate that information, to even ask questions. Where resolutions are supposed to be made, resolutions are made democratically with an open vote. So our system is not effective enough that this House of the Supreme Council can make a decision to go to court or to make some certain conclusion. So our contention is that the decision to go to court to have the land registered in favor of the whole community is in order. So I wanted to deal with that. So the Bafokeng, the Royal Bafokeng community, including the petitioners, they are enjoying protection of the community and services given by the community. Let me state in terms of services. The Republican dividends which are obtained from the mines have been used to create infrastructure you see in Bafokeng and surrounding areas. We have about 29 villages. All those 29 villages have got the hard roads which have been built by the Royal Bafokeng. There are schools. There are more than 50 schools in the area, all built by Royal Bafokeng. There are reservoirs and water infrastructure, all built by Royal Bafokeng. The our schools until recently have been receiving feeding in all paid for by Royal Bafokeng. The bursary scheme, some of these petitioners actually benefit from that bursary scheme, ironically. That bursary scheme taking care of children of Royal Bafokeng. I myself have gone through the same bursary scheme, went to university paid for by the same bursary scheme. So the Royal Bafokeng is using the resources perfectly well and is accounting to every member of the community annually to an audited financial statement. To state the policy of the Royal Bafokeng Nation does not ascend to any checkbook. It does not have contact to any checkbook. The finances of Royal Bafokeng are directly run by us, the councillors, and elected traditional councillors. The policy of Royal Bafokeng is given budget by us. This is a model, which is the best model you can ever find elsewhere in Africa or in any other community outside where there are traditional communities. Because this model has been like that. That is why even today, as a person, I can appear before you and give you all facts, because we deal with these facts on a daily basis. Even the transactions with the mines are not signed by the post. They are signed by us, the personas. I myself have got the power to sign mining contracts. I have the power to sign all documents after I have been given a pension by the Grand House. So, with Royal Bafokeng, when a person comes and says there is no consultation, he is misleading. Because even the royal of the lowest member of the society who is uneducated has a right to stand up and question things. If he can't question in a general sitting or in a quota court, he'll question issues at the quota level. And at the quota level is what we call a needs analysis. Needs of the community are written down at the quota level and they are forwarded to the joint sitting of the Royal Bafokeng. But they are analyzed and prioritized. So, the Royal Bafokeng Nation is a community which is forward-thinking, which has the intention to uplift its community members. At the moment, our programs are intended to empower every member of the community, the business people, the SMMEs. We have programs in terms of which we empower them by engaging with the mines and opening doors in the mines for procurement. Those economies are enjoying millions and millions of income from the contracts they have in the mines. The Royal Bafokeng Nation...
Can I also appeal that you move towards RAPIN?
Move towards?
RAPIN. Your presentation.
Okay. As it please. Let me state that, Mr. I'll just single out, in towards my conclusion, I'll single out a few issues raised in this petition. The author of the petition, Mr. Tuzera Bo, is a member of the Royal Bafokeng Nation. His Mokolo community, which he says he represents, the Mokolo community is one of the senior clans in the Royal Bafokeng hierarchy. He himself, he's a descendant of all kings of the Royal Bafokeng. Because King Mokolo, who was one of the initial leaders in about 1400 or so, was a father to Rabo. So, going to say that the Bafokeng are a separate clan and what have you, he is misleading because his own father was a councillor of the Royal Bafokeng because of their seniority. He was a councillor appointed by the Posi. Until to a time when he passed away, he never denounced the Bafokeng. So for Tusi to say that the Bafokeng are just a clan which annexed other clans, it is a misleading statement. And he distorts history because he says things which are not supported by fact. The history of the Bafokeng is recorded in several books. It's recorded in the book of Bryce, the anthropologist, Bryce, Professor Bryce. It's recorded in the book of the family law of Royal Bafokeng. It is not that the Jew, the people of the Jew. It's written in several books. You'll see that it's an illustrious community which has, at the moment we have the present policy is the 66th monarch of the Royal Bafokeng in terms of its lineage. So to say that we are a clan, it is misleading. Mr. Chairman, Details of our submission have been captured in the document before you. I would wait for further questions to respond thereto, but I wanted to indicate one contradiction before I go to disclosure. In the papers before court, the petitioner alleged that there was no consultation with them when the decision to go to court was taken. But in the petition before you, at paragraph E, you see paragraph E is in page...
Are you able to provide us copies of any supporting document that you would want us to look at? Including the books that you are referring to.
We can do that subsequently.
Exactly.
We can provide the books subsequently.
We appreciate that.
Yeah. We can provide the book subsequently, and we are going to give you copies of the court papers.
Thank you very much.
We have the file of all copies.
We will appreciate that.
At page 5, and under that subheading, recent developments. That's the paragraph is all given E, but all the subsection is termed E. There's a third paragraph of it, where Mr. Tuzi says the motion was raised of various Makota in Bafokeng tribe for approval. So he is contradicting what he says in court. There he says this decision, the decision to challenge the minister and bring back the Renault under their name was raised at the all Makota. It's mentioned in your petition. But in court, he said, in his papers in court, he said this was never discussed at the Makota level. So he's contradicting himself, and this is a material fact. He shows that the Bafokeng, before they make a decision, they consult.
Can I assure you that once you get papers, these members, before they arrive at determination, they'll go through every little information, and they'll put all those things into, you know, spotlight to say, there are these things, why contradictions here, what do we do? Then they will look, you know, arrive after looking at all. That's why I'm encouraging people to say, give supporting information, supporting documents, because it helps everybody to know what you know. But if you don't give,
I agree with you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, finally, the Rabo Bafokeng came up with the concept of working closely with Rustenburg Municipality. And they forced what is called the Memorandum of Understanding. In terms of this Memorandum of Understanding, we had realized that in other communities, there have been disputes between traditional councillors and municipality councillors. Now, to cure that, we came to a memorandum of understanding in terms of which we do planning jointly. We prioritize needs jointly. We contribute the IDP jointly. So that there must be coherence and cooperation. And that has helped us in terms of service delivery. You will never hear any service delivery project in our area, because our people are well taken care of by the municipality and the traditional authority. We are a model of a successful relationship between the municipality and the traditional community. And we are a model of a successful run traditional community because of the democratic governance system we have adopted. And there is a history to this.
And I'm going to apologize. I know coming here you wanted to, you know, put all the facts, but time like
as a honorable chair, I thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
Colleagues, what do? We get clarity seeking questions, or I move to the next step, or do we move with other presentations and get clarity on all of them? What suggestions do you put in place? Honorable.
Thanks, Chair. I propose that we get another presentation.
Another presentation from the. We agreed on that. Thank you, municipality. And may I ask that if I know deputy ministers, both of them said we are here, we don't know why we are here. If you feel you would want to prepare yourself for things that you wanted us to look into, you will be given that opportunity to say you will forward information in a written form. You are allowed to do that. But the municipality of Rustenburg, start again. Don't be impatient. It's me, myself.
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I've introduced myself earlier on, Councillor Mabalehu, the member of the mayoral committee responsible for planning and transport. As a municipality, I think we will also forward our submission because we received an invitation to attend to the continuation of the petition submitted by the Bafokeng Land Buyers Association. Earlier on, Chairperson, you said the first petition was submitted in 2008. I want it to be put on record that I have not received any submission to date as a municipality, even the petition that was submitted after 2008. But nevertheless, now that we are here, I think it was solely me because it was not particularly relevant because the claim was against the Royal Bafokeng. Both the Bafokeng Land Buyers Association and the Royal Bafokeng are our constituents as a municipality. As a Rustenburg municipality, like the representative from the Royal Bafokeng has stated clearly, we have sent a memorandum of understanding with the Royal Bafokeng, and not only the Royal Bafokeng, but all the Mahosis around Rustenburg. We are having three Mahosis with the Royal Bafokeng Nation, Bakwanaba Mohopa, and Bakubumba Rathen. The memorandum of understanding is only about basic services, on how we provide basic services to the traditional communities. And as to the Bafokeng Land Buyers Association, they have not yet presented anything to us. But what we normally do as a municipality is we go through the mayoral inbox, whereby the very same people who submitted Metarapo is residing in one of the houses in Rustenburg, that is at Luga, which is under the Royal Bafokeng Nation. It's in Watsare, that's where it resides. But even during the presentations at the mayoral individual, you have not submitted anything in relation to the land claims to the municipality. And we are also in the relationship with the mines as the municipality. What we have established is the MASECO, that is the Mayoral Stakeholder Engagement Committee, whereby we meet with the mines. What we are doing as a municipality is we are compelling these mines to do what has been identified on the IDPs by our communities. Because during the mayoral inviso, we compile our IDP of all the 34 in Rustenburg, and we also have a relationship with the DMR, whereby the DMR sit with the municipal manager to see to it that the mines, all the mines that are around Rustenburg are compiling to see the IDP. And we are having 11 mines that are in Rustenburg. So as to the petition that I've said earlier on, the person, maybe we must also be provided with a petition as a municipality so that when we respond, we can respond clearly to what is relevant to the petition. I think basically that is all from my side.
Thank you very much, Ma Huma. Can we then move to Deputy Minister for Cooperative Government and Traditional Affairs?
Thank you, the person of the Select Committee and honorable members present, Mahoshi. We have not seen both petitions as a department, so we are in the dark. It will be making no sense for us to do any comments or submissions now, having not seen the petitions themselves. Some will see some documents as we're sitting here in the meeting. Yes, indeed, there are referral points that are directed towards the department itself. And the department also has to know that it has a commission for disputes and claims, which will also have to check whether anything did go that direction and whether in the province of Northwest or on national level, whether the way presented with any of this particular petition, we will have to go through that and in responding to the issue. So once we have cleared, we've seen the petitions, we've gone through whatever has been submitted to us or not submitted, we'll only be able then to comment on the matters which some are already in front of the document that I hear. So, Chair, we do not have any submission to do for this committee. That is why we're saying we do not know why we are here. And also the invitation only said up here
and you've appeared and you've complied, you could do anything further than this.
Thank you for sharing, Deputy Minister. Deputy Minister, of course, I guess he spoke for you. I want to believe.
Partly. No. Thank you very much, Jefferson. Thank you very much, Deputy Minister. And this is Bafokeng Royal. The Royal Bafokeng. The Khosan idea. I really would like to, you know, on a little note, I would love to have an offline discussion with you. My mother is a Mufokeng.
It's a Mufokeng.
I don't know the same thing, but I think that this is so big in relation. Anyway, on a serious note, I think we are almost at a similar situation. We actually received this morning. We though are very cautious of the court case, as you might well appreciate. And really our attitude is we would listen. The matter is for us before court, and we wanted to treat it that way, to see which way the court is going to go on this matter. So as of now, I think that we have listened to this eloquent input, which I wanted to engage on one thing or another, but we don't think we want to do it here and now. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, maybe it is upon us to apologize in the manner that our administration is letting us down. Because when you invite people to come for hearing, you must provide them with the copies of petitions so that they know what is that leads them to stop to it. So I am profoundly apologizing for that deficiency. It is not what we are intending to do. It is just, you know, when the administration wanted to do that. And then, however, thank you for coming, and we'll provide you with that copies of those petitions. And at the appropriate time, you will then forward to us whatever you wanted to do as a submission before we arrive at the determination. And then we'll have taken care of that input, Honorable Scott. Thank you very much. Honorable members, there you are. Any clarity-seeking questions from what you've heard? It's now up to you. I may only call an in when I've seen that you wanted to speak. It looks like you have been here to Honorable Mohadi, Honorable Mugwele.
Chairperson, I'm not sure. Given the input that we have received, it is very clear that it will be difficult for us to further proceed. I was going to suggest a person that we take note of the submission of the Royal Bafokeng traditional authority. But we should ensure that we stipulate have time frames to say when and how can we facilitate the written submissions from other stakeholders. And I think it would also be proper, Chairperson, with due respect, to ensure that the petitioners are present in the hearing so that tomorrow no distortions of facts can be advanced. To limit unnecessary suspicions, I think it's proper that we ensure that as petitioners, they come, they engage with the inputs or the response from the respondent. So based on that, Chairperson, I think it should be more helpful. So as we understand, Chairperson, with due respect, let's ensure that all the relevant stakeholders that needs to access copies of the petition be afforded within 7 days an opportunity to access those copies. Then we say within the relevant 14 days we access a response, and in a month's time we reconvene this meeting, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Mati. Honorable Mokwe.
And we have to look at the point that we have learned from the similar copper. It has ended good office in the Deputy Minister, and it happens almost every time. is regarded as if we are incompetent as a committee, of which we need to take this matter very seriously. It can't be proper that the deputy ministers honor our invitation, but we fail to give them proper information as to why are we calling them. Same applies to all the stakeholders that we call before our committee. It's not for the first time for us to be held hostage in Phuket was because of our administration, and it happened again. It must be dealt with on a very, very, very serious note. Honorable Mohapun says the Mafoko this time, Hore. In terms of the presentation,
just a minute.
Because
if this limitation can be sorted out next time,
sure.
Others don't speak the language. So if we can have translation facilities. So
no, true, Deputy Minister, because ordinarily we are saying in all our hearings, we need translator. Okay, everyone, I'm going. No. Deputy Minister, don't worry about this other thing. Worry about the comments that I'm making. Ignore them. You haven't heard them. That is a valid point. We said it should be maintained every time we're for the hearing. Because even the practitioners and the stakeholders, we are not guaranteed that they understand this, you know, foreign language. But we always let down by Parliament. So we apologize to the Minister. But today, we'll... Thank you. Can you
please? And I'm talking about the Deputy Minister. I just go to Africa. So, ki. The last situation is so. Kajigo. Kia ona kwenye kibwa mudula silo kure. Kosi kosa na o atuluki lo katala seali. Kamka seo bafuki mbasi dira. Ene kapo le chakore ni lungu le rona as member of the committee. Re tshwanetse re utlwe letlhakore le lengwe, akere potso tsotlhe di na le matlhakore a mabedi. Mare ke batla go botsa potso go kgotsana gore ke a utlwa gore go na le di-consultation tse di diragalang ko Mafokeng. Le tshwara dikopano tsa lona, le tshwara dikgotlakgote. I think this weekend you have your kgotlakgote. But the level of attendance in terms of the community at large, for ya kana community ya Bafokeng kare zamela plus minus 350,000, 400,000. Mari tulogelo ya sechava go di kgotlakgoteng tsa lona, ke tulogelo e leng gore e netefatsa kgotsa e kgotsofatsa gore ga go tseiwa di resolution. E be e le gore no le nna ke sa tla gae ke le Mofokeng, ke le ko Gauteng, a na di-resolution tseo ka mokgwa mongwe nka tswele gore di a nkama go ya ka phologelo ya setšhaba. Ke a leboga.
Thank you, Honorable Mokwele. I'm sure it's just that part of the execution is the only part. Yes.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. It must be noted that in terms of traditional law, when Kofi calls you to a meeting, you are expected to be there. And fortunately, with Royal Bafokeng, we have 5 regions. And before we go to Kodakote, we conduct 5 regional meetings where Kofi has to personally go and listen to the complaints of the community. The Kofi and the councillors go there. There's 5 weeks before Kodakote. And all community members would raise their issues. And if they have submissions, they'll make their submissions. And from every regional meeting of which we call the Melapke, there is a summary of issues raised, which will be presented at the Kodakote. All those 5 summaries of 5 regions form part of the agenda in the Kodakote. So you may not be at the Kodakote, the main Kodakote, but you would have attended your regional meeting where you would have made your submissions. Or you would have attended the local court, which is attended every month.
So, you, in a way, your sentiments would be white at the quarter court. If you are in Johannesburg, it's unfortunate. You are expected to come when the court makes that call. But it must be noted that in terms of traditional law, again, you are not an individual. You are part of a collective. Your quota, even if you are not there, your councillor and your quota and the executive council of the local quota would be there and voice the sentiments. And if you've been attending quota meetings at one stage or another, your sentiment would have been included in the submissions of your local quota. And it must also be borne in mind that the local quotas are presented at the Supreme Council, where all the councillors and traditional councillors come together and discuss these issues. Some resolutions are taken at the quota court. Those resolutions are taken at the quota court are those where there is disposition of property or land. But other administrative resolutions are taken on daily basis or on weekly basis at the Supreme Council or at the traditional council. The traditional council has a court sitting where they also entertain issues. So, in one way or the other, what your sentiments are, whether you are in New York or in Gauteng, because you've got some people in New York, in London, everywhere, whether you are there, your members of your local quota would have known what your sentiments are, and one way or the other, your sentiments would be voiced, or would be considered in some of the decisions you make.
Thank you. I'm sure like the one of Deputy Minister's question.
I'm sure honorable members, I did not invited Mineral Resource for one simple reason, because when we introduced ourselves, none of you said I'm from that particular department. And I'm not sure the house is here, despite that we did not summon them. They just brought themselves next to you. Is there anything you wanted to share with us, Deputy Chair of the House?
No, Chair. I don't have anything that I would want to share, but I think once we've also gone through the petitions, we would have an input to make as this matter relates to the institution that we are working closely with. So if there's any matter that we may need to attend to, we'll definitely make an input at the appropriate time. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Honourable members, we will then, after receiving the submission from the true ministry, and of course insisted that the mineral resource will also be given an opportunity to make a submission with the furnishing of them with the copies of the petition. We will in our third quarter, we'll be in the third quarter or second quarter, you know. This thing is now confusing because we are going to spend another quarter in the sea, you know. We will try and find a space to prioritize this and finalize this hearing with the submissions of the three ministry and possibly the House. And if the need arises in that finalization, we will still invite the Bafokeng petitioner, will invite the Bafokeng Royal a nation, so that in that finality, everybody knows that now the ball is in the court of the NCOP to take a determination. Honorable Deputy Minister?
I see in the documents submitted so far that the matters of the traditional court are arising, so I will therefore want to include justice and consumer development also responded.
Thank you very much. We will draw that, Deputy Minister. Thank you, honorable members, deputy ministers, officials, everybody present. This brings us to the end of the hearing for today, and we will inform you of the continuation of finalizing this hearing in the next quarter. Thank you very much. The meeting is adjourned.